We're going to kick it over to Tiff and Jared to talk about how they and their firm individually and in their firm have taken control of their time.
Hi, everyone. I love the after lunch special. We're here to get you super energized about productivity and time. As I was thinking about this session today, I kept thinking, I'm like, there is like 15 quotes that I have taken from Limitless that I just want you to hold on to. Like, you don't have a time problem. You have a priority problem. Where you focus expands. But your time is your greatest asset and your greatest lever. Time can neither be created nor destroyed, but it can be managed. I carry these with me all the time. We practice them with our team. These have been massive, massive game changers. I used to have the excuse all the time. I just don't have enough time. And I know when Steph and I started, I used to say it all the time. She's like, you don't have a time problem. You have a priority problem. And we'd have to go back and really get into where are we focusing and what does that look like? So today, and what we're showing you is really about making productivity your superpower. How you start focusing in, making the most of your time, avoiding distractions, and how to manage different ways of your schedule and your email and all of those aspects to ensure that you are focused on the things that are going to bring you the results and the outcomes that you have as a part of your vision. And so on the screen, what you can see here is how we've calendared our time. There's some really great tools with Limitless to start. You see Tiffany's ideal schedule down there in the corner. I took that from the Limitless. It was what's my week, and I'm going to start blocking every aspect of that. You'll see mine are very focused on revenue producing activities. I sit in the seat of business development. That is where my time should be focused. You will also see that that is balanced where I want to spend my time with my health and my children and my husband. So I have those blocked. Number one rule is for us is learning how to start by taking our time off for the year. It's really important that we are our whole selves, that we're coming to work and giving our very, very best. That was a major shift. And very honestly, took me up until 2 years ago to really implement, because I felt guilty for taking time off, which is the mindset work we did earlier today, and got into taking that PTO. So Jared and I look at our calendars at the beginning of the year, and we know when all of our vacations are happening. For the most part, the occasional, like, fun vacation pops up throughout the year. And then we take that and then we built that into our company calendar, actually. So you'll see in the bottom left-hand corner, we have our 2023 team or firm calendar. We break this up in three core areas. We have the advice and client fulfillment, we have operation fulfillment, and then we have growth and marketing. And what is from January to December, what are we going to accomplish in those months? We, as a team, we have several people in those areas, but also as partners of this firm, we're looking at, like, what are the core areas? How are we also setting our people up for success, ensuring that they're coming in for as their whole selves? Which time are they taking off? Can they get clear on that schedule and really build their work in a really productive way? Jared, I'm going to let you take our standard work week and your sample schedule as well. What do you have to add?
Yeah. So Tiffany and I are actually sitting in the very same small office here. So if we're muting and unmuting, we're trying to get this synced up just perfectly. So our standard work week was really born out of how do we get to the productivity that we're looking to get to with a larger team. So there are 14 of us. How do we put this together so that we can sync up? We also, during COVID, went into the world of hybrid. So we have four of us that are here in our headquarters, three that are in a satellite office, and everybody else has either chosen to work from home or works from home out of state. So we really wanted to create these windows of time where we were all available to each other and working on similar things, and then windows of time where we could focus on deeper work, where we could integrate more of that balance. And if you needed to take an extra day, or you had just configured your work week in a way where you could take time off, Friday could be a flexible day. We have unlimited PTO, which is an entirely different discussion. Lots of great and terrible things in that realm. But really, you know, having that flexibility on Fridays was something we wanted across the team. So we built the annual calendar for the entire firm and said, what are the big initiatives? What are our big client surge periods? We have three client surge teams. So when is one team surging versus another? How are we doing that on an annual basis? And then on a week to week, how are we putting these together? And then as Tiffany showed you in the lower right, she built her weekly calendar and daily calendar to support that. I did mine as well. Now I'm a little more involved with our client service team. So I actually update mine about every 90 days, but I have schedule blocks in there that are timed specifically for focusing on projects and client work. I have windows of time that are available for client meetings where our scheduling software can see me and pull me into those meetings. And then I have family time and personal time on there as well. One of the things that is really important to me is that 3 days a week, I'm available for our kids for after school pickup and activities and everything. So that's now blocked out on my calendar and part of what we're all planning around. So as you're looking at building your own schedule, your own calendar, keep in mind that it has to be really adapted to what are the outcomes that you're trying to create as an advisor, as a team, and how do you want to put all of those pieces together? There's no one perfect way to do it, but accounting for everything that's important and making sure that it has a place on the calendar is super important.
That is awesome. Thank you both a lot. I think, thank you both a lot. That's great. I'm trying to manage Stephen over here and pay attention and actually form complete sentences. Those are great insights, actually. Something that really came up that Adam mentioned it, Tiffany and Jared both mentioned it. I really want to highlight it. If it's not in your calendar, it doesn't exist. It is a wish. It's a hope. It's a click your heels together, spin yourself in the chair three times and hope it goes that way, because your calendar, specifically your annual calendar, then translated into like your 90-day calendar with your weekly schedule and your daily schedule, that funnel process says, I have a vision and I am going to sit in that space of ownership. I'm going to take agency, awareness and ownership together, create agency over my time. I'm going to make sure that my time allocated for work is intentional. Time not allocated for work is already carved out. I'm paying myself first in time equity. And then whether that's 2 weeks or 2 months. And then I'm going to make sure that each of the minutes of my time that I invest, the choice that I make about my focus and attention, which is the greatest lever that I've got, is going to be intentionally set out. I'm going to decide in advance based on our vision, our strategy, our priorities, and our resources and how I can best support that in the decisions we made. And based on that aggregate set of data, this is how I can block my Monday through Friday from this time to this time, or right, I have blocks of time. I go back and forth. I'll work for a few hours. I'll go ski. I'll come back. You get really good at that after a while. But you have to have agency over the time and calendar. And that's why we come up with things like time can't be created or destroyed. My team has that time. If I decide to go ski, I can split it up, right? But the 6 hours has to be the 6 hours. It's got to go somewhere. So the idea is, if we don't put it in the calendar, it won't show up in your day. That is your budget. Yeah. So things like reading, continuing education, block for everything. That's why the annual calendar is there. Hey, one Friday a month, I'm going to sit around with music blaring in my room and do a whole bunch of online CE and like make a day out of it, or what, you know, whatever it may be. If you don't put it in the calendar, it means that you're trying to squeeze it in around the edges all the time.
Well, and I think something that I want to draw out to what Jared brought up, and I really want to emphasize it, is the importance of using time blocking and using an online scheduler as the forcing mechanism and guardrails around protecting your time. Because what can easily happen, hi, my name is Adam, and I had a time management problem, is we are pleasers and we don't like to say no. And we can have the most beautiful, like Tiffany's, like, of course hers is color coded and it's got like, it's pretty. Mine does not look that way. It's blocked, but it's not as pretty as what Tiffany's is. Even if it was, I will be the first one to blow that up, because I'll make exceptions, because someone will ask, can you meet with me at this day? And in the absence of me having any type of willpower or any sense of guardrails, I'll find a reason because I like to please people, but using a scheduling software is, right, we talked, I mentioned earlier, strategic versus tactical. One, if it fits where you're at right now and you're looking for ways to free up your time and take a little bit more control of your time, a low-hanging piece of fruit to look at is what are the rules and conditions around how people schedule to get on your calendar. And if you're not using some type of online scheduler like Acuity, Calendly, Schedule Once, Chili Pepper, any one of these tools out there, dare I say, I feel like that is absolute table stakes in the industry right now. And I don't care if you work with retirees. I don't. We have an 85-year-old client that has happy as a clam booking on that.
Yeah.
So again, that's a deeper discussion for a different time, but that is one tactical decision that you can think about. It's like, okay, the context here looks great. How do I apply that in my practice?
Yeah.
Take it through and see how do I create the rules in my online scheduler to mirror what my ideal day and week looks like. Yeah.
I have two calendars. Our whole team, we just went through this exercise for the year on our calendars, you know, like in Outlook or Gmail, we use Gmail. We have Steph's calendar, which is my actual calendar, Asana Sync, where my tasks come in. And then we have Steph's model schedule, Allison's model schedule, Lauren's model schedule.
Yeah.
So that's all gray.
Yeah.
So everyone can see, oh, the Calendly link is set up, but I need to schedule work for Stephanie to review goes into very specific blocks work of time. Blocks.
Yeah.
We call them work blocks.
Yeah.
Right. And marketing work is on one day and content work is on another, because what I know about myself, like most of you, is there's the thing called flow and a zone, right? There's talk time and there's focus. I call it deep work. That yeah. I have deep work Wednesdays, right? I just turn everything off and put my hair in a mom bun up here in my sweats. And I'm just like, I'm up at like 5 before anybody's up. I'm like 5 to 11 and my day is done. Yeah. Like yeah. It's so cool. Like I feel so productive. Those are great ski days, by the way. that's very nice. You're like, I love waking up early in the winter. So remember, you've got to translate those ideas about your life and your vision into a schedule. That's the system that supports you, right? People, process, and platform. Who's your gatekeeper, who's filtering, all of those things. Starting with email.
Yes, so.
The biggest stealer of time.
Let me go back here. How many places can we find on here? Let me phrase it this way. Is there any, with the four calendars that we see here, is there any block where it says email all day long? No, right? Jared has a little block right here where is email red tail teams, right? This is, if I'm speaking for Jared, my assumption is,
yep.
Go ahead.
Oh, let me just plug in, get in, see workflows, activities, anything that needs my attention where I can provide direction as to who and what is the next best step with this. Email is not something that lives on an entire, on one monitor. Hi, my name is Adam, and I used to have 3 monitors in my office because Outlook was one of those monitors. All day, every day, Outlook was up every single day.
Like, Adam, stay focused,
yes.
Stay focused,
yes.
Stay focused,
yes.
Stay focused. Come on, stay
yes.
focused.
I was multitasking, which yeah. I've recently learned there's no such thing. It's just rapid refocusing.
Yeah.
And every time that we rapidly refocus, we are destroying our productivity and our deep work thing. So yeah. This is, we've got kind of a side-by-side. Stephanie's email delegation process is all in the resources section. Admittedly, it is pretty deep. It's pretty thorough. There is a whole process to that. Mine is not, candidly, it's not nearly as regimented as what Steph's is. The screenshot that you see here is of my personal email. This was one of the most impactful shifts that I made back in 2018 to get out of that hamster wheel of the dopamine hit, high activity, but low impact task of checking email and of having that up, thinking that, and it wasn't a matter of, was I going to miss anything or I didn't have this sense that, oh, what if a client emails and I need to respond back within 5 minutes? That wasn't it. For me, email was a huge crutch that was an easy to go to task that allowed me to be busy without being productive. And I realized that through, again, just seeing success stories from Steph and others of what it can mean to get out of the burden of email and realize that as an advisor, that's not my best and highest use of time. And so we've evolved the process to now, as you can see here, I'll shift this now more from context to talk more the in practice and tactical. I use 2 tools and systems that guide how we do email in our office. The first tool that we use is something called Sanebox. Sanebox.com, admittedly, I shouldn't say, I don't, for those of you that are in a broker dealer world, I don't know what that would mean for you. Don't use that as a crutch to just say, oh, I guess I can't do Adam's version of email and not address this. It is a tool that has allowed us to not have to look at the vast majority of emails that come in. So the top of my inbox, you'll see there where it says, anytime you see the at symbol, that is an algorithm from Same Later. So we have programmed it to essentially put program it, all newsletters, junk, wholesalers, investment updates, market commentary, basically anything but a client or a hand select few individuals, everything goes into Same News. I did the math on this and I had it written down, but I didn't bring it with me.
It was a big number.
It was a big number. If you take 2 seconds, right? This top line here at St. Archive is 56,000 emails that neither I nor Kathy have had to make a decision on looking at. Same with the Same News. And it just, anything in Same News rolls over into the archive after it gets to about 5,000. That's the limit there. So that was, how can I remove my own mental energy decision-making process? All right, let me look at technology to help filter that through. The second part that I did for the things that actually did need to be seen in our firm, that did need to be triaged from an actionable standpoint, I'm a big fan of David Allen's system, getting things done. David talks about in his philosophy and in his workflow, organizing, like gathering and organizing and then making a decision on his next action is, can I do this in 2 minutes or less? If I can do it in 2 minutes or less, I do it now. If it's not, then it comes back to kind of that 3 Ds. I either do it / schedule, I schedule it, I delegate it, or I defer it, and defer that parking lot that we mentioned. This might be a really good idea.
Later,
exactly. But it's not relevant to what I'm working on right now. But I need a place to park that because my mind, right? Our minds are like the RAM on a computer. They're not hard drives. They don't do good at storing information. They're very good at processing information. So the getting things done methodology in email, if I kind of follow the workflow here, anything that comes into the inbox, Kathy manages my inbox. I don't check email, but for a handful of times per day. And the only action or the only folder that I'm focused on is my next actions folder, potentially my scheduled folder. And I'll talk about that here briefly. So when an email comes into the inbox, Kathy is the one that is monitoring the inbox a couple of times per day. She typically will go in. Admittedly, she's plugged into email a little bit more than, you know, the 10, 12, and 2, just because she's dealing with emails from TD Ameritrade. And yeah,
it's her job.
It's her job. So as emails come in, she will triage them. If it's something that she can answer directly, and by the way, she does this as well for our dedicated client service email address. So our clients at integratedpwm.com is the only email that a client ever gets. No client since about 2019, I don't think I implemented it right in 18, I think it was year two, is when we implemented the clients. No client since that time has had certainly my cell phone number or my personal email address. So Kathy monitors both of those inboxes. Anything that she can handle, that's what she does. If she responds to an email that's from me, it says, Kathy Sutter on behalf of Adam Schmela. I don't want a bait and switch. I don't want a client, or not maybe not a bait and switch. I want to be transparent. And people know that it's Kathy answering on behalf of me. It comes from Adam at Integrated, but it's signed Kathy. So again, just we're being honest and level setting with the person that's getting the response. Anything that she can't do that needs my attention goes into a next actions folder. Kathy and I will review that next actions folder a couple times per week, and I will verbally respond to her how to answer that email. Got an email from this, hey, Adam, they want you to speak at this event. Great. Yep. Sounds good. Let them know that I want to speak between this time and this time. I'd love to come in on this. Like, I can narrate that response to her, and now she has the information that she needs to answer that email, and then handle the logistics that are inevitably going to happen from something like that. If it is something that I need to attend to, but it's going to take more than 2 minutes, and she knows that it's going to take more than 2 minutes, she will put it in the GTD scheduled folder, and there will be a time block on my calendar. So just like Jared had, right? If I go back to his calendar here, did it go back? Nope, there. So focus block, open for client meetings or Jared, I thought I saw you have something here. Maybe it's on TIFFs. Email. Oh yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Where you have that work block scheduled, that is where if I'm working on something or project standpoint, I know that email is in the schedule. I learned this the hard way because I used to keep things that were scheduled for deeper work on the calendar in the next actions folder. And then every day that I would go to review things that I need to make a decision on, I'd still see that. I'd say, that email is still sitting there. I needed to get that out of sight, out of mind. So there's a difference between something that is next actions versus something that has been scheduled. The other thing for that is I know that when I am working on my deep work time, or I am working on the recent example that came in, hey, Adam, it's time to fill out your ADV, your 2022 ADV updates. That came from my compliance consultant. That's not something that's going to take me 2 minutes or less. That has to be scheduled. But I don't want to see that email every time I go into triage things that I need to act on. So that's why it's in the scheduled. And I, when I am working on that, I'm not looking at my next actions folder and then, ooh, someone just emailed me.
There's anything.
Yeah, exactly. It is, you have know thyself, right? I knew that I needed to have guardrails and I needed to have a system because I admittedly am very, very weak when it comes to this. And I needed to have something that was going to take me out of my element. The other thing that I'll do, last point here, because I know this is a big sticking point for a lot of advisors. Do not put your email online. With Outlook, you can take it offline. Do not have it set up to sync. Take away every notification, every badge, every ding, every sound.
Take it off your phone.
Take it off. I haven't had email on my phone for years. You do not need to be notified of that. Things in email that are important. No email is important and urgent. If it is that way, there's this magical thing called a telephone.
They will pick up a telephone.
Yes, yes.
So remember, take it you're offline. In the planning business, not the emergency business. 99.9% of the time, the 0.1% of the time, they will pick up a telephone
and
they will call you.
And the snarky thing that I so badly want to say to clients sometimes is that your lack of planning does not constitute my emergency. So,
but we say that. We just have to get in that positive frame. So that's right. That was a lot of, God, there's so much. The thing is, we're sitting here, I'm like, all the stuff I want to share with you this year is all in my head right now. We got to pace ourselves.
Yes.
So the thing that I'll add around that, especially here, it's really important is, so we've got different examples. If you're in a larger firm, you're going to have a lot more in that annual calendar, right? You've got different teams, etc. If you're you and a small team, or you and a service advisor, right? It's simpler still. And think about things like email and scheduling. If you're on your own, right, or you have a part-time person who's doing some things but not all things, the number one question we get is, well, how does this apply to me? And the truth is, you want to do the same blocking. You don't want to be your admin 27 times a day outside of the telephone, but again, you can block that as well, right? So we have open call times, right? People can leave, etc. The idea is, do your admin time in beginning, end of the day, right? Use your energy creating time for the most important things. If you take an hour or 2 hours at the end of the day to do those things, or you block 2 days in the afternoons, one, you've got dedicated time where you're in administrative land or client service land or paraplanner land, not in, energy creating, money producing land, client land. Two, very valuable side effect is you know how long it takes. Oh, wow, it's actually taking me 4 hours to do my client set, right? So we're replacing my EA. So I'm like, I got this until we get the new person. So I've been I do all my, so my normal 30-minute slot in the morning, do you know how long it is right now? 2 to 2.5 hours. I know that because I do it all at once. I do what my admin would do. Right now I've got people helping me, but I did it a couple of days when they were out and I was like, okay, we definitely need to replace this person. You're spending that much time on average or more, you're just doing it 27 times during the day. So especially if you're on your own or you don't have a full team around you, block that time. When you get your first support person or you expand your team, not only do you know how much time you have, you've now got time blocked to train and support them. You start trading that time. Now you're not doing it. Now you're using that time for training. As they get trained, now you're using that time for support. That 2 hours becomes an hour and a half, becomes an hour, becomes 30 minutes a day, becomes a meeting a week or 15-minute check-ins. So it's very advantageous to block your time when you have teams because they need a rules system to know how to block your time, or they'll just take it like everyone else. It's a land grab. That's not intentional. That's not agency. And you want to make sure that and then if you're on your own, you need that system to keep you focused. It's a bucketing strategy for your time so that your energy zones are really aligned with the work that you're doing. And you can't, if you shift gears back and forth all day, you make so many decisions by 11 o'clock. Should I do this? Should I not do this? That you've used all of that intellectual capacity you've got for the day and you're pushing through the rest of your day.
Yeah. I think we admittedly overestimated how much time that we have for our sessions, because I think we're, Allison, are we at the top of breakout sessions? Did we take too much time on our first two sessions? I'm afraid that we're not going to have as much time to get through Success Shifter as what we wanted to.
I think we're good. I just need like 3 minutes. Yep.
Okay.
Allison, are we? I don't hear Allison. Okay, we're going to move on.
Yes, you're fine.
We're good. All right, my clock is broken. All right, so I'm going to talk with you a little bit about the Success Shifter. We're going to talk more about this at the end of the day. And for many of you, it's going to become a very close ally of yours as we kick off our High Performance Happiness Success Sprint in February. So let's talk about this for just a little bit. This is that box on the side of the road that tells you how fast you're going when you drive by the school. You have a dashboard on your car. It tells you how fast you're going, but we just get in the habit of being on autopilot and we feel in control of our speed and we cruise right on down the road without realizing we're going 10 or 15 miles an hour over the speed limit, right? Over our, right? What we're capable of really handling in that situation. We need that. They do those boxes because studies have shown that outside feedback loops have a right, different recognition in our brain and we pay more attention to them. The Success Shifter is that. This is very interestingly, if you've read Atomic Habits, which hopefully all of you have, he has a form in there that looks literally exactly like this. We've been using this for like 20 plus years. So I really should have read that book. It's just a habit building muscle. This is the equivalent of a mental gem. So it's going to do two things. If you go back to that base camp lesson where we talk about it, it's going to help you identify habits and behaviors that you want to discontinue because they don't serve you. They don't support you, elevate you, give you joy. They keep you distracted, whatever it is. This is the stop doing that category. The second category is things I want to do more of. More of this is good, right? Reaching out to COIs, working on my digital campaigns, time for my limitless projects, meeting with my team, what date night with my wife, right? Hitting the gym, whatever behaviors are going to put you in the zone, personally or professionally, are the things that you want to do more of. You don't break habits. You build new and better ones, right? So your brain has neurons. You have pathways that come off of that neuron. Every time you think a thought or do a thing, neurochemicals flow across that pathway. That tells your brain this is important. You have basal ganglia, little gardeners of your brain that go through your brain every night when you're sleeping. And the pathways that have that biochemical marker, they leave alone. They're like, oh, Patrick used this one today. It must be important. We're going to leave it alone. But what do we tend to think about right before bed? All the stuff we don't like, didn't do, how bad we are, how blah, like that's what you're telling your brain. Hold on to those pathways. All the good stuff, I don't have any time for that. So you don't break a habit, you build a new one. And the way that you do that is you think a different thought and you take a different action. So if this is my neuron and this is my, right, my neural pathways are running through, this is bad, but you get it. Like you can see right through my brain. I kind of got to draw
it. It's fun being here in 3D.
It really is really awesome. Right. And I think this thought over and over and over again, we're going to go that way. But the second Todd that I say, actually, I'm going to do this thing instead. Biochemical goes down that pathway. And then I do it again the next day or later that day. And again, more biochemical, bricks on the road, bricks on the road. There's this thing called neural glue. We're going to call it glue because that's way easier to pronounce. And it's what holds those pathways onto your neuron. There's only so much of it to go around, Peter, which means that if I'm thinking the new and better thought over and over and the glue's got to go over there because the glue has to go where the biochemical goes, what happens to that old thought after a while? Because I'm not thinking it as much. They've actually got a video of this. It's so fascinating of someone's neuron and the old pathway literally falls off and floats away and dies. And the new pathway is formed. It's really cool. So every time you think, I can't do that, you're telling your brain, if we believe this, keep this path here. And every time you say, I am awesome at this, I am wisdom, says Liz, her brain goes, lay the path, that's right. And we keep that. And over time, that becomes the default, the new and better belief system. That's what the Success Shifter helps you do. It pulls that out of a subconscious back behind the curtain pattern. I am a huge fan. I'm actually printing mine for February to do this with you all, which we'll talk about. when I started this with my principal 30 years ago, I'm 50 this year, if anyone can believe that. Oh my God, I'm so excited. We printed it out and I carried it around the office to my meetings. I said it right, and I had an actual phone on my desk. Remember when you had to cut your desk with the telephone? Now we are old. I set it under my desk. I would not leave at the end of the day until I put my little check marks in the box. And I'm telling you, never have I found a better way to build better behavior habits, because you are so conscious and your brain pays attention. If you do it every single day, it is inevitable that you will improve. So what happens is you use it to build a better habit. When you've nailed that habit, it can come off. Something else can come on. Yours does not have to be full. I was just giving you an example in different categories. You should not start with 50 things. It's too much. You should start with a handful, three or four. But I've been doing this for 20 years, right? So this is an example, right? I want to have my morning routine. My outside activity, right, is Axel is my morning commute. I get up in the morning and I go to work. I walk the dog around the park and back, right? I do that in the afternoon. I'm intermittent fasting, right? I somehow...
11 a.m., right?
Yeah, I did not eat until 11 a.m. The gummy bears had to wait, right? So I'm just right now, we'll talk about this, had like a lot of work the last couple of years. I was like, hey, I really want to hit my happy high-performing lane again. That means I got to really double down on my happy high-performing habits. Every time in my life, I have doubled down on my success shifter and my happy high-performing habits. Do you know what happens 30 days later without fail? Awesome sauce, right? So I've been doing it in January. We're 20 days in. Feeling awesome, right? Found the lane. So the idea is family and community, right? I'm gonna walk my dog 4 times a week. So I counted the days in February, right? If we have family reading time 3 times a week, that's 12 times a month. So every night we have it, I put a little chicken scratcher check mark in the box. If we don't, man, end of the day, I'm like, oh, didn't do it. Instant feedback loop to my brain. Oh, wait, recommit. Tomorrow we're gonna do this. So the idea is things like, I don't have email on here because that's not really my weakness. I've got a lot of discipline around that. If you check an email and you only want to check it twice a day in productivity, you might have, right, check email twice a day. And you have to put a chicken scratch in every time. When you put that third chicken scratch in, what happens? Your brain goes, Patrick, that's not what you said you were going to do. And then you're like, okay, I can't do 4. So I remember the first time I did this, we were going through it, and like, I swear the first time it was like empty, empty, empty until like the 25th. And then it was like, fill it in, fill it in, fill it in, fill it in. And that's okay too, because it's giving your brain a backstop. It's saying, hey, I want to do this X number of times a month. You only get so many free passes. And again, you're creating awareness, you're changing behavior. And if you do it over time, it is inevitable that your habits will change. I started tracking. We started tracking NIGOs. We love our tech platform. For us, NIGOs is going to be like, did we have a tech glitch or an issue? Right? Just want to keep track of that. It's important to me. And then I'm now going to track what I call my HPHs, my happy, high performing vibe days. Like, scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to end my day with, was I neutral on the line? Was I a 6 or 7? Why was I a 6 or 7? I was a 9. What today made me a 9? Hey, I was a 2. So just really want to focus on my overall state and well-being, be conscious of it so that as I go to bed at night and my PM routine, it's, hey, where was I on my point today? Where was I not from a place of love and support? Did I set myself up for success? Did I have too much on my list? Did I get distracted? Okay, go me, I'm doing the work. What do I need to account for tomorrow? Yeah. There's no beating yourself up here.
Closing a loop on the conversation, Tiff, Jared, let me bring it back over to you. Anything that you would sprinkle on top of that, add to kind of dovetail into how you manage your calendars on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis?
Personal accountability.
Yeah, I was going to say that reflection piece stuff is something that I really often do. Like every week I look back on my calendar and I take a look on like, what was I set out to accomplish this week? And did I? I'm also really truthful with myself. What's the time that I wasted this week and why, and at what cost did that have? There's that line, it's in service of what and at what cost, has been huge for me. There's been real time where I've been like, I just got distracted, where I didn't feel like eating the frog. And so that costs my time as a mom that night, or my sleep, which inevitably made me better the next day. And I lost my patience, right? Like, it's the hard truth to the decisions that I make to not respect the time that I have and the ways and the outcomes that I'm out to get. And so that reflection time is really, really huge. And I take a look at like my mood and, you know, you can rate that on a scale of 1 to 10. What was my mood going into that? How did that client meeting go? Like, how did you go into that? How did that client meeting go? What was your feeling afterwards? Like how you show up in all of that and just having a moment and a pause of just being honest and truthful with yourself really helps. But that reflection period is really important because I take it and then I'm like, okay, how are we setting ourselves up for next week? So I really love that you're doing that reflection as well, Steph, but it's been a really important practice for me just to take that in because instead of going 3 months or a year, it's on a week to week basis. So I can make those little small shifts to keep me going the way that I'm and in the direction that I'm looking to go. Jared?
Yeah, I just want to echo your point, Adam, that like our self-control is a perishable resource, right? So we are helpers in a helping profession who want to deliver for the people around us, whether that's your team or your clients. So having the system that prevents your natural helpfulness and self-sabotage is huge. So the more that I can lean on the system and say, nope, this reflects what I need to accomplish to deliver for everybody, and that means constraints, that's wildly helpful rather than that just, you know, never ending string of one-off exceptions and decisions, which will sabotage. So even though it may seem like there's constriction and constraint in that, it's actually freedom. It's freedom to do the right work, focus on the right things for the right people. That's what this type of system and review allows you to execute.
Yeah, you're right. Because a lot of our clients will be like, oh, you know, I can't let someone else calendar. I can't let someone else check my email. I need to be doing it. And then you find now I'm like, you couldn't pay me enough. I'd be like, oh, you should pay me $1 million a year. If you said, Steph, you have to check your own email, I'd be like, I'm out. There's no way. It's not energy creating for me. I don't like it.